This week I talked with a wife who is very concerned for her husband's well-being. And I talked with a daughter who is very concerned for her mother's well-being. And I talked with another wife who's very concerned for her husband's well-being. And I talked with a father who's very concerned for his child's well-being. And I talked with a guy who's very concerned about his best friend's well-being. And I talked with a mother who's very concerned for her child's well-being. And I talked with a girl who's very concerned for the well-being of those she works with. And I talked with another mother very concerned for her child's well-being. And I am not making this up. And some of those conversations included tears, because in the end, none of those people can control anything about what's going on with all of the people whose well-being they care about. And I found myself saying the same thing over and over and again this week to people, so I thought I could save some time and just say it to everybody in today's sermon. When there's stuff in life that's going on that's killing you, when what's happening around you and in you and to you is ruining you, when you cannot figure out the next step, no matter how hard you try, there is a four-word prayer that you need to pray. Four words that can change everything. And they are not magic, but they are magical. If you will say these four words from your heart over top of whatever's going on in your life, you can face the world for the rest of today. And for the rest of this week, and for the rest of this crazy year, and for the rest of your life, you can face it forcefully. And these four words are straight from Scripture. In fact, they are straight from Jesus. And he said we should say these four words because he knew they change everything. From his own experience, he knew that these are the four that matter. And if you have followed him for 40 years or 4 years or 4 months, if you are only exploring the idea of following Jesus with your life, these are the four that matter. People who are really good at following him from practice to people who are still deciding if they want in. According to Jesus, these four words are the foundation for everything about how your life will work out right. And you've said them. I know you've said them. You know these four words by heart. The four words that summarize the basic gist of living in the kingdom of God are: Your will be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus said, when you pray, say, God, your will be done. That is the key that unlocks the whole spiritual world for you. Your will be done. It is shorthand. It means I completely give control of my life to God. And it is a great prayer to learn because you can say it anytime, anywhere, your will be done. When you're worried about one of your kids, your will be done. When you're mad at your spouse, your will be done. When you're worried about money, when your computer crashes, when you do not get the job you want, you say to God, your will be done. When you're hoping that she will say yes, but she said no. When you're hoping that she would say yes, and she did say yes, and then you wish she would have said no. When you are the 60th car in line at the new traffic light up the hill, I counted them, 60. You can say to God, your will be done. When your country goes crazy, when you lay dying, you can say this prayer. This is the thing Jesus knows will change everything for real. Your will be done. People talk about having coming to Jesus moments or saying the sinner's prayer or being saved, but really, really, you enter God's kingdom when you surrender your will to God, when you say to God, your will be done in my life, which is really hard to say because for the most part, we want what we want and we're willing to do whatever we have to do to get it, what we want. Mostly we say, my will be done. And if we have to step on people, well, that's sad, but too bad, my will be done. And if we have to deceive people or if we have to be quiet when we should speak up, or if we have to take more than we should, or if we have to look at something we shouldn't, or if we have to be hurt for, or if we have to be vengeful, or if we have to be a little tight with our money, or if we have to be a little loose with our image, hey, you got to do what you got to do because my will be done. And if you ever have an extra good moment where you think, well, I can kind of bend my will to do something that might be a little better for other people, when you decide to do the right thing, if you decide my will be done, but this time maybe I'll do something a little bit better, you discover you're not really in control of that either. Addiction means it controls you. Whatever you're addicted to tells you what you must do. The food in the refrigerator calls to you. Cocaine calls to you. Money demands your best time and energy. Fear forces you to tremble. How others see you forces you to work out more than you want. Whatever you're addicted to tells you what to do. And the human condition is that we're all addicted to little gods. And you can try and you can try and you can try harder, but you can't get out of that. But when you say these four words to God, when you surrender to the real God, when you say, God, your will be done, your inside changes. Really, Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Listen to how the Message puts those verses. Then Jesus said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, Jesus says. I am. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. Scripture says, Jesus says, we need to surrender ourselves to God. We need to decide that what we want is not the most important thing in life. Take up your cross means no longer is my life primarily an attempt to always get my way. I invite you to go ahead and try this as an experiment. Tell God, I am going to do, God, what you say is right every time. Have you surrendered your life and your will completely to God? Have you learned to say, your will be done? Have you ever prayed this prayer? There are a couple misconceptions that keep people from actually praying it. Some people think, misconception number one, some people think that to surrender your will to God will turn you into a mindless robot. To which I say, wrong, 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 so wrong. It is amazing how wrong some people can be, wrong. God will not turn you into a mindless robot. God loves variety. He's the one who makes snowflakes different every time. He makes fingerprints different every time. He makes stars. He makes breeds of dogs. He makes flowers of every size and shape and color. And have you seen people? I heard a guy say, God's got 8 billion separate experiments running on this planet simultaneously now to see how far any one of us can grow close to him. You are precious to God. Your will, your personality, who you are is precious to God. There was a movie back in the 70s. It was called Stepford Wives. Did you ever see it? Stepford Wives, it's a community of Stepford. All the men that live there are high-tech workers. And the wives in this community behave strangely. They love to bake and clean and make their husbands' lives wondrous. And they have no opinions, and they get together, and they talk about new recipes and how clean their carpets are, and they never argued, and they never nagged, and they were always dressed beautifully, and they always had perfect hairdos, and they seemed perfect in every way. Every woman in this community seemed perfect, but it turns out they were all robots. So it was actually classified as a horror movie. But that movie was so popular, they made a sequel called Stepford Husbands, where the husbands are handsome and strong and virile and unfailingly pleasant and great cooks, and they played with their kids and they did the laundry and they talked to their wives for hours and hours on end. That movie, if you'd like to see it, is played over and over and over again. It's called the Hallmark Channel. They also made a movie, they made a movie called Stepford Children, where all the kids were perfect all the time, and they kept their clothes neat and clean and their rooms, and they got good GPAs, and they were out starting little jobs, even though they were only in third grade. It was an amazing. Now, in those shows, none of the wives were real. None of the husbands were real. None of the kids were real. They're all robots. They'd all been cloned. Which reminds me of a bumper sticker I saw. It said, a clone is a person too. Maybe you didn't like that bumper sticker. One guy said, what these Stepford movies show us is that in close personal relationships, conformity to another's wishes is not desirable, be it ever so perfect, if it's mindless or acquired at the expense of freedom or the destruction of personality. Stepford stuff shows us that a world with persons and pain is far more desirable than a world with no pain and no persons. God does not want a Stepford world. We do. We think that'd be great. If everybody would just do what I want them to do, oh, wouldn't life be sweet? But God does not want mindless robots. He could have made us like that, but he didn't. He wants people who have choice, who get to choose to love him or not, who get to choose to trust him or not, who get to choose to surrender to him or not, because no relationship is really a real relationship if you don't have a choice in the matter. That's a good point, no matter what's going on back here. No relationship works unless you have a choice. You know that God will never force you to do anything you don't choose to do. And he made us like that so that when we choose to surrender to him, it really means something. Misconception number two. Some people think surrendering is the weak act of a weak person leading to a weak life. Again, this misconception is wrong, 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 so many levels wrong. So many people think that they're strong, they've got life together, they try to make it look good on the outside, but actually they are being dominated by the things they worship. It's only when you say your will be done to God that you find freedom in life. It's only when you surrender your life to Jesus that you can escape what controls you. The more you pray the four words, the less money can make you do stuff. The more you say your will be done to God, the less your physical appearance dominates your thinking. The more you surrender to God, and the less circumstances or your kids or your reputation will force you to do anything. It's weird. The more you turn your life over to God's control, the more independent you get in life. How about this story of surrender? 100 years ago, there was a wealthy, gifted businessman named Roland who was secretly a hopeless drunk. He had been locked up numerous times for drunken behavior, but his family had enough money to always cover it up. That was looked at as shameful back then. Nobody really knew it, but he was out of control. He got so desperate that he went to Europe to be treated under the care of a famous psychiatrist named Carl Jung. And after Jung helped him for a while, Roland left sober, convinced that he now knew how to control his drinking. But before he could get to a boat to come back to America, he was drunk again. So he went back to Carl Jung and he asked him, "What's up?" And the psychiatrist said, "You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I have never seen one single case recover when it's as bad as yours." And Roland said it was like the gates of hell clang shut on him. And he said, "Is there no exception?" And Carl Jung said, "Yes, one." He said, "Here and there, alcoholics have what are called vital spiritual experiences. They find God." He said, "Hope for you will be found there if it will be found at all." So Roland went out and found God in a vital spiritual experience in a little fellowship, a bunch of disciples of Jesus called the Oxford Group, who were devoted to surrendering themselves to God every day. And all of that eventually led to Bill W. and Dr. Bob and AA. God can give a drunkard the ability to be sober. God can give a greedy tax collector named Zacchaeus the ability to become amazingly generous. God can give a frightened failure named Simon the ability to become his best spokesperson named Peter. God can give Peter's arch enemy named Saul a new name and a new heart and a new life until Paul will finally say, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." It turns out surrender isn't at all about a weak people doing weak things, leading to weak lives. It's actually a very bold move to surrender, and it leads to a powerful life where you're free from what used to ail you. I have experienced that myself in my life this week. One of our family's most prized possessions in life is a silver 2004 Honda Pilot with 186,000 miles on it. with kids who still live around town, with parents and in-laws who have moved to town, with a sister who lives on a farm with 8 kids and 2 cows and 22 chickens and 2 dogs and I don't know how many cats, and with a bunch of friends from church who are always moving from somewhere to somewhere else, this Honda Pilot has come in very handy for us over the years in hauling many things hither and yon. And I know that my public disdain for country music precludes me from ever buying a pickup. But this vehicle, which was given to us by a family in the church, is so big and it carries so much. By the way, do you remember when Jesus said it is really smart to use your wealth here and now so that when we get to heaven there, then and there, people will welcome you with open arms? So this family that gave us this Pilot, when I meet them in heaven again, I'm going to hug them. We love this Pilot. So Linda's driving on 96 and a car pulls over on the right-hand shoulder. And Linda thinks nothing of it. Sometimes cars pull over on the shoulder, so she keeps going in her lane when the car suddenly pulls back out into the road and smashes right into the side of our Pilot, pushing it into the left lane where Linda had to swerve back into the right to not get hit by oncoming traffic. Pulls over. We look, crushed passenger door, popped the rear right tire. Carice was with Linda in the car. She jumps out of the car. She's yelling, "What are you thinking? What are you thinking?" And the lady gets out of her car and said, "I was making a U-turn. I was making a U-turn." And Carice said, "With cars following you? With cars coming in the other lane from the right-hand shoulder? What are you, crazy lady?" And the lady said, "I was making a U-turn. I was making a U-turn." My wife and my daughter are really shaken up. They await the arrival of the police. The officer arrives and asks them what happens. They tell him. He listens briefly, and then he goes back and talks to the lady. For a long time, he talks to the lady. For a very long time. And then he comes back and he tells Linda that the lady had her left-hand turn signal on, and she was making a legitimate left-hand turn from the proper spot on the road, and apparently Linda tried to go around her on the left. He said Linda tried to pass his lady on the left while she's making a left-hand turn. Linda said, "That's not at all what happened." Cree said, "That's not at all what happened." Linda said, "If she was turning left, I would have slowed down and gone around on the right-hand shoulder, but I couldn't because she was on the right-hand shoulder." Carice said, "The lady said she was making a U-turn. She said it many times." Carice said, "There's not even a road over on the left to turn into." The policeman handed them the accident report and said, "Call your insurance company," and walked away. Now, I'm pretty much a nice guy, right? You know that I'm a pretty much nice guy, but I didn't used to be. And when I heard that story, there was a policeman and a lady and a tow truck driver and a judge that I wanted to, I was not very happy. Did I mention that we love the Honda Pilot? So we went to visit our Pilot in Farmington Towing Service junkyard, which is Pilot Purgatory. It was a very sad moment. And while we were there with our vehicle, we prayed, "Father, as you delivered your people from Egypt, as you delivered Daniel in the lion's den, as you delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, we pray that you would please deliver our Pilot from this junkyard jail." That's what I prayed. But I had been planning on preaching the sermon, so I know what I needed to add. And in order to preach this sermon authentically, I knew I needed to add 4 words. So instead of punching anybody or suing anybody or kicking anything, I added, "God, we love this vehicle a lot, but I know it's your Pilot. I know all vehicles belong to you. I know that. And if you want your Honda Pilot to be totaled, fine. It's your Pilot. Fine. I trust you. Fine. I'll say it. Fine. Your will be done, but only because I have to preach a sermon." Then we heard back from our insurance people. After we prayed that prayer, we heard back from our insurance people, and the vehicle was totaled. Our great Pilot was now just a pile. I mean, God's great Pilot was just a pile. And they said they'd give us a couple thousand for it being totaled, which was nice, but that's not what we wanted. And then they said, "Of course, you could buy it back if you want." And we said, "How much?" And they said, $200. We got our Pilot back, and it can be fixed, and they gave us $2,000. And there was much rejoicing. So here's the deal. When you let God do it his way in your life, sometimes you get what you hope for. Sometimes you get better than what you hope for. Sometimes you will get nothing at all. But the point is, God gets what he wants, which is your best. He wants what's best for you, and he can only get that when you let him arrange your life for your best. So let him. This is key. Every time you know God wants you to do something, do it. Every time. Learn to pray these 4 words all over your life. When it's God's way or your way, say to God, your will be done. Which leads us to misconception three about doing this. Surrender is to God is not one and done. It is not once for all. Now, it needs to be once. You have to decide this in your life at some point. There has to be an initial moment, a first time. You have to say at some point in your life, okay, God, I mean it. Your will be done. But that is not the end of it. That is just the beginning of a new way of doing life. AA has some of the most genius summaries of Jesus' teachings, I think, anywhere on earth. And what they say about giving control over to God is, what we really get from this is a daily reprieve, contingent upon the maintenance of our spiritual condition. All we can ever get is a daily reprieve. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into every one of our activities. How can I best serve God? Your will, not mine, be done. I saw a bumper sticker that said, you only have 180 seconds left to live, but every time you breathe, you reset your clock. And that's true. If you don't breathe after 3 minutes, you don't get life anymore. And it's true with your spiritual life as well. You can't say, well, I surrendered to God back in 1984, I think, 85, so I'm good. Did you hear about the doctor who came in with the test results one day and he told the patient, he said, I'm afraid I have bad news. The doctor said, I'm afraid you only have 10. And the patient said, 10 what? 10 months? 10 days? 10 what? And the doctor said, 9, 8, 7. Our spiritual life, our kingdom connection only lasts one. One day, 1 hour, 1 minute, one decision. Your connection to God has to be renewed every day, every time, always. You have to keep choosing to say, your will be done. When it comes to your attitude today, say to God, your will be done. When it comes to your interactions with your spouse today, say, your will be done. When it comes to your kids, dealing with your kids today, surrender them to God. When it comes to your money today, say, not what I want, but your will be done. When it comes to your fear today, your body today, your words today, when it comes to anything you're involved with today, give up your expectations. Tell God, I can't control any of that. I can't even control me. I give it all to you. You lead me. You tell me. You send me. You stop me. You give me what I need. I surrender all. I'll go your way. Your will be done today in my life. The three starting points for AA go like this. Number one, we have admitted that we are powerless over our problems. Our lives have become unmanageable. Number two, we believe that there is a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity if we let him. And number three, we have made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Sometimes people summarize that in three great phrases. These might be the most spiritual thing anybody will ever say to you, ever. These three lines, I can't. God can. I think I'll let him. I can't. God can. I think I'll let him. Said in the right way, said with the right heart, said with a willingness to try, these words can make you whole. And if you never have said them, you can say them today. Today, you could have a vital spiritual experience. And if you've already said those words at some point in your life, great, you still need to say them today. Your spiritual healthiness, your connection to Jesus, your life depends on saying these words. It's an everyday, all day long deal. Your will be done. I can't. God can. I think I'll let him. I was surprised last week when there was great response for volleyball jokes. I didn't think they were very good. So I found some of my own. Like, what do you call a girl standing in the middle of a volleyball court? A net. A net. Get it? Annette? What do you call it if she kneels down? Courtney? Courtney? It's good to be back. Kneeling, folks, is a good posture if you want to be spiritually healthy. Do you remember in the garden, Jesus himself was wrestling with this whole thing? And he didn't really want to do what God wanted him to do. And he said, please let this cup pass from me. But in the end, he said, not as I want, your will be done. And what happened to Jesus next didn't seem to go well. But that seemed to turn out for the best, didn't it? I can't. God can. I think I'll let him. Or in Elizabethan English, thy will be done. However you say it, if you say it and if you mean it and if you'll try it, whatever is out of control in your life will still be out of control in your life. But you will be in control of the one who controls all things for good. I can't. God can.